Fed Group is a specialist financial services provider with a legacy of putting people before profits, offering a range of stable and diversified investment options that help investors steer clear of market scares. With billions under management, Fed Group ensures your investment decisions are stable, so you don't have to worry about them coming back to haunt you. And in the month of Halloween, with ghosts everywhere, including on this podcast, of course, it was great to be able to chat to Paul Cunahan from Fed Group about how to make the markets a little bit less scary and daunting, a topic close to my heart. Fed Group Financial Holdings Pty Limited is a licensed controlling company, and companies within the group are authorized FSPs. T's and C's apply, and as always, you must do your own research on investment products and speak to your independent financial advisor. Welcome to this episode of the Ghost Stories podcast. It is nearly Halloween, and I guess as ghosts go, that means it's probably my favorite month, I suppose. More importantly, it's summertime, or at least it's trying to be in Cape Town, so maybe that's more the reason why it's my favorite month. And, you know, Halloween, if anyone is prepping for a Halloween party, you might have all your decorations ready and all sorts of interesting food. Not too many of you will put stock price charts up as scary things, but you could certainly pick a few, because there's some crazy stuff that happens in the markets, and investing can be pretty daunting, pretty scary, you know, ghosts as well, but luckily not this one. I always said that this business was designed to help make the markets less scary. Paul, it's going to be what we do today, which I'm really, really looking forward to. So Fed Group is running this kind of Halloween themed month around not letting your investments scare you, which I think is just such a fun idea. And joining me today on this podcast is Paul Cunahan, who is at Fed Group. He's been in the markets for a good couple of decades, so you know he's kind of seen it all, which is wonderful. Paul, you've worked at a variety of financial institutions, and today you head up Fed Group's direct wealth advisory business. So thank you for joining me. You bring tons of experience to this conversation and obviously a deep understanding of Fed Group, a brand that a lot of Finance Goes readers have really gotten to know over some excellent podcasts. So yeah, thanks for your time. I'm very happy to have you on here.
Yeah, thanks Finance Goes. It's great to be chatting with you today. And yeah, we really wanted to bring across and really cement the message of taking the scare factor out of your day-to-day investing. That's really what we're here to do and what we've done for over three decades.
Absolutely. And it is scary, you know, and we never want to downplay that, because the markets are daunting. They're risky, but that's how finance works. If you don't take risk, you don't get rewards. I mean, that's literally how it works. And over a couple of decades, you would have had a lot of conversations with clients. You would have no doubt invested your own money and experienced the ups and downs of the markets. What do you think is the most daunting thing about the market? So what do you think actually makes it that scary?
I mean, I think the biggest thing that makes it scary is the fact that, you know, no one has a crystal ball, you know, that the future is uncertain. And I was recently looking at what I think a lot of your savvy investors and your listeners will understand as a smarty box, you know, that it's that view where you can see the different asset classes represented over a time frame, and it then ranks the asset classes on a scaling down of returns. If you just look at a smarty box, it really is a smarty box. You know, what sector in the market's up this year is down the next year. And, you know, you can never predict what's going to go on now. And, you know, we're a global economy. So the fear factor is around the unknown. And, you know, for the general investor, I mean, that's my general observation over the last, you know, two, three decades has been that the level of complexity in the markets has gone up, and that your general investor has really, really struggled to keep up with that complexity. You know, if you're not invested in this day to day, it's not going to come naturally. So, you know, that's why we at Fed Group, you know, we highly advocate talking to an independent financial advisor that can really help navigate through these waters. Now, this is what they do every day of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people are just so scared of risk ultimately. You know, they're worried about losing their money. It's really interesting when you speak to people, that's the bias, right? It's, I don't want to lose money. How do I avoid losing money? They don't necessarily, or very few. In fact, I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone who straight off the bat says, well, I'm scared of doing worse than inflation. You know, no one says that. They just say, I don't want to lose money. But if you have 100 Rand today and you still have 100 Rand in 12 months, you have in fact lost money. Yeah, and people tend to forget that because it's not a natural way to think. We kind of anchor to, you know, there's 100 bucks in my pocket. I want to still have at least 100 bucks. The correct way to think about it is, a year from now, I want to have at least 105 bucks, so that then you genuinely haven't gone backwards, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and you're talking about that concept of absolute returns. So the absolute return philosophy is, you know, you always make positive return on your money. And that's what people seek. And what it really talks to is, the fact that, you know, investing your money in is a highly emotional thing, and the best investment professionals around have this incredible ability to take the emotion out of investing. I mean, that really is the key. I mean, I think you've won the game if you can take the emotion out, because emotional decisions when it comes to investing money are the worst. You have to avoid those. And, you know, you're right. Inflation is the biggest eater of returns over time. And the problem with inflation is, you know, for so many investors, it's something that sits on an article that they read. They don't often feel it, unless, of course, they know what things are costing. You know, it's not that direct link with that. So it's the sort of silent sort of eroder of value. And, you know, it's so important to know these, that assets, you know, exceed inflation, and people are getting what they call real returns, you know, as an inflation plus return. So they're getting wealthier in the future. And that's really what we're about at Fed Group.
And it's not easy to achieve. I mean, one feature of the South African market, you know, is that every year in the budget speech, the tax brackets go up by less than inflation. In fact, sometimes they don't go up at all. You know, that creep, that bracket creep happens. And in reality, your effective tax rate actually goes up a little bit every year. You know, it just gets harder and harder to actually get yourself ahead and to build up that balance sheet that is starting to generate those returns. And, you know, certainly as I'm in my mid 30s now. I think if you asked me 10 years ago, you know, what does success look like? I would have had all the typical, you know, I'm in my 20s kind of answers around, oh, you know, really nice car and a really big house, blah, 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 blah. You know, and you get to a point where actually it's like, you know, you want that freedom of your time, freedom to do what you want to do with your life. And that doesn't come unless you've built up enough of a balance sheet to actually start doing that. And I'm definitely not someone who advocates for, you know, frugality above all else and don't spend your money and never travel. And I'm not one of those people at all, but I do think that there's a strong balance. And if you can understand what inflation is doing to your money, then you understand the importance of actually building that balance sheet, getting those returns, and just treating that as, you know, the scary outcome. It's actually not, it's not about sitting on your hands and doing nothing because you freeze and you're nervous and you're worried. You've got to understand that you're on a treadmill, whether you like it or not. You know, it might be set to walking pace at your local Virgin Active. Inflation sometimes is at walking pace. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes as South Africans, it feels like you're on the sort of, you know, jogging at 10 and it's uphill at that big gradient and that's just to keep going. That's unfortunately how it is. And I think people need to reframe it to understand that that's what they're up against. And you can't beat that by having money under your mattress.
And that's such a great point. I was just about to say, I mean, in the theme with October and, you know, what do you do if, you know, the typical reaction is if you think you've seen a ghost, you freeze. That's what people do often. They're so fearful of this, of getting stuck into their investments and seeing what else is out there, that they often freeze and do nothing. And doing nothing is probably the worst thing that someone can do with their investments. And maybe another point on inflation, you know, there's obviously CPI, core inflation, et cetera, that is publicized and measured. It's often a wonderful exercise to go into actually what is your actual household inflation? What is your real inflation rate now? And that, unfortunately, talking about of scariness, that gets a little scary. But I think what makes it not scary, and that's really what we're wanting to offer the market now, and, you know, we've really honed our skills at Fed Group, is offering alternatives to what your normal, call it 60-40 strategies, bonds, equities, offer in the market now. And what's really, really nice, and what I've observed over the last two decades, is that the amount of additional options that are available and accessible to your investors have really sort of exploded. So, but again, that complexity requires advisors to navigate them through it, and carving out stable returns for clients, which has always been what we've done, suddenly becomes a very, very non-scary option. And, you know, it's a big one as well. I mean, the majority amount of work we do in the financial services industry is dealing with independent financial advisors. And why that's important is, you know, an independent financial advisor, by virtue of their independence, has the choice to use a product provider in part of creating that solution for their clients. And, you know, we're really happy that, you know, we have in excess of 1,800 independent brokerages that have used us over the last 30 years in creating and a part of that portfolio. But I mean, I think we'll talk about it further in this conversation around diversification. That is still, I'm afraid, really the only tried and tested way to really combat against the scariness of investing. It really is, you know, it's almost a concept of, if you're going to go into a dark alley or a dark room where there might be ghosts and ghouls and whatnot, going in with a team of people, a few people, is far less scary than going in with by yourself or just maybe someone, your best friend. You know, that's the analogy I sort of align with it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think survivorship bias is a real challenge in this. So people point to the great investors who took 5 or 6 huge punts and they worked, you know, and it's like, look, concentration is the answer. Concentration that works is the answer, sure, but now get that right, you know? And we don't talk about everyone who lost money because they were concentrated. We only talk about the heroes, and that's the survivorship bias coming through. I am very much a fan of having a whole bunch of, you know, smaller positions and recognizing that there is so much variability in the world that you cannot possibly hope to know with such certainty how something is going to turn out. You're only kidding yourself if you think that it's because you just haven't been hurt yet. And it will come.
Absolutely.
And it will hurt.
And I think right about now, probably we're experiencing one of the best examples of this concentration risk and this, and there's potentially room for hurt if you are totally concentrated. You know, if you look at that growth sector in the equity market now, you know, where a lot of the Magnificent Seven, you know, your Alphabets and your, you know, that, you know, you're talking now, the market is now suddenly 63% concentrated in that market, you know, but you're talking, there's some worrying statistics, you know, those stocks constitute 23% of the market, but only are contributing 12% to the profit. You know, there's this imbalance sitting on, you know, it's an amazing statistic. And again, why I mention this is because it's not a worry, you know, have exposure to potentially concentrated markets, but don't let it be your sole concentration. At the moment now, this is a scary statistic, you know, in relation to what we're talking about. Your average forward multiple of the S&P is sitting around 22 at this. So PE ratio of 22 forward multiple. If you just extract your Magnificent Seven, your Teslas, your Microsofts, etc., that average multiple drops to 18 by extracting 7 shares. I mean, that is just the impact. Now, again, it's very hard to explain to someone that's made a lot of money over the last few years to, listen, maybe this has run its course, but until you get hurt, you know, you wake up the next day. I mean, you just cannot understand what's around the next corner. So, you know, diversification is absolutely key to us.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what is scary and what people forget all the time is the impact of competition. And this is the Tesla debate that I've had for years with people. You know, is if you look at Tesla over the last couple of years, it's actually been really disappointing. If you bought in at the right time, you've made a fortune, absolutely, you know, and well done to you. But it was when Tesla was already very hot and I was looking at these cars and having these debates with people around competition and everything and being shouted down from every corner of, you know, you don't understand and Musk is going to do this. And obviously Cathie Wood is out there predicting that Musk will be emperor of all the universe in the next, you know, 7 weeks. Anyway, I'm being facetious, obviously, but you read some of that stuff and it's honestly just crazy. And actually, as time has proven, you know, guess what? Tesla is not the only car manufacturer in town. There's some really good electric stuff. I think the Chinese were a force that people didn't necessarily see coming. But that's my point. Is something will come. You know, you don't know what it is. And NVIDIA is now the next big one. Is like, can that carry on the way it has? Whether, you know, is AI going to continue being that strong? And will anyone else come in? Because when there's such a lucrative market, then it's going to attract a ton of R&D. Lots of new competitors. Ulta Beauty, another great example in the US market, you know, they disrupted beauty retail. Now they are facing disruption from tons and tons of competitors and their share price is having a pretty rough time this year. So this is, you know, it's more of a single stocks thing, maybe than buying an index. Although as you point out, and this is, you know, the importance of not just blindly going into things and thinking, oh, I'm buying this very diversified ETF. Go and have a look what's in it. Because if it's got 6 or 7 stocks that are making up the bulk of the story, actually, you're not buying something that is diversified in the slightest. You are buying basically a tech index and some other stuff.
Absolutely.
It's not the same thing as being diversified, right?
Yeah, 100%. And that's where we are. That's where we sit at this point in time now. But you raise such a great point around this elevated focus on where success lies. And that's the worry in the markets. By the way, it's quite an interesting at points, I think we even sit with where we are in South Africa today. But, you know, suddenly you take an NVIDIA, the expectations on NVIDIA are so much higher. And remember, that's where the market is absolutely heartless. You know, they will judge you on their expectations. Now, suddenly the expectations have doubled, you know. So the same in South Africa. I mean, we're in a purple patch. I mean, I think you'd agree it's been almost a tale of two worlds this year. I mean, you know, the first half of the year versus the second half of the year for SA. what people don't realize is that suddenly, you know, interest rates are dropping a bit now. SA GNU is really starting to sort of show some of the fruits. There's some great, you know, public-private partnerships working. But what that does, though, for SA as well, is it just has increased the expectation levels. So in the event SA, you know, listed equities or SA Inc. doesn't deliver on expectations, it almost says the fall is harder. And that is a wonderful position to be. You want to be in those positions, but people must understand the responsibility around these elevated expectations. I mean, you know, they are. I mean, it's like the Springboks. I mean, you know, I use this analogy quite a lot now. It's a wonderful analogy for where we are and what Rusty's done with the Springboks. But right about now, we sit down and watch a match. I don't know about you, but I expect the box to win.
Absolutely. Against anyone. All Blacks, no problem. You know, we can win this. Imagine that 7-8 years ago.
100%. Different expectation levels. So that's where, I mean, I really believe what we've done at Fed Group is, you know, we right from the beginning, it's been around strategically deciding what sectors we're in. And that was the decision around which sectors can we properly understand, manage, monitor, and that we believe can give those stable returns. So alternative in nature, but always giving stable returns. I mean, that's been our mantra over the last, you know, while out, you're really sort of responsible, well-diversified investments in sustainable, tangible asset classes now. And that's what's been our magic sauce. So we've been very focused and continue to be very focused around what works for us. That's really status. And you know, many, many clients have been happy with what we've delivered. Yeah.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you about, so I like to call it the gene euphoria, but you know, pick your term and the stock prices move first. And actually, if you go and draw a chart of ArcelorMittal, you can go and see an extreme example of this. And I love pointing to extreme examples because they teach you how the markets work. But sometimes the markets do it over 12 months and sometimes they do it over 3 weeks. And ArcelorMittal went absolutely nuts with the news of Chinese stimulus because a big problem there is the Chinese demand for steel has been down. The Chinese produce an enormous amount of steel. And so what they've had to do is dump their steel on global markets, including South Africa. And that has severely hurt ArcelorMittal, right? That's the TLDR of what's gone wrong there and a bunch of other things too. So with the announcement of Chinese stimulus, you know, ArcelorMittal is a broken stock. It really is. It's a loss-making group. It's terrible. And people jumped in and said, well, you know, this is what's going to drive the improvement. And you could have made some really great returns on ArcelorMittal, but you needed to have the skill and frankly, the luck to get out because literally just the other day, they went and released an announcement that basically said, hi, everyone, you know, please remember, actually, we are in huge trouble. Basically, here are all the issues. We're making losses. It's awful. You know, and the stock has lost almost everything that it gained from the stimulus. So it's very much this buy the rumor, sell the deal. You know, I literally wrote about that in Ghostmail this week. And it's an M&A lesson, but it's actually a very useful thing to apply in the markets as well. Now, this GNU upswing this year might just be a slower version of that. There was the sort of buy the rumor, which was the election went well, everything's going to get better in South Africa. You know, whoosh, go all the share prices, lovely. But things need to now get better. And I'm watching a few sectors of where that might start happening. I can tell you where it's not happening, for example, yet is construction. You know, you go and read PPC's results. There's not really any positive move there at all. You know, Afrimat also not amazing. So it's not happening there. So I think where it might start happening is somewhere like the clothing retailers, you might start to see it coming through, but it's going to take time. And by then share prices might have washed away. So this is what happens in the markets is people run to where the success is. And that's actually the scariest thing. It's too late. Not always, you know, but it often is. It often is too late. You've missed it. And now you need to just be very careful. When every South African stock is suddenly at double digit PEs, all of a sudden, we're not there yet. You know, we all want to be there. We all want to be the Springboks winning World Cups, but we're not there yet. We're still in development team mode.
Absolutely.
It's going to take a while. And if it takes longer than people think, it's problems.
And that's exactly it. Quite right. The length of time is a big one. It's similar to our gray status. It's no great shakes that we're in it. It really isn't. I mean, you know, there are another two, you know, G20s, Turkey and Argentina. We're in, out. You know, but look, I always say the list of countries that are currently in gray status now, it's like being in the wrong crowd at school. You don't really want to be in that crowd, to be honest. But it's more around the expectation is when we should be coming out. Now, that time extends, that hurts us. To give, remember, so infrastructure, there's that concept of fixed capital formation. So that that gross fixed capital formation as part of GDP, which is that spending on value creating with stuff in SA, which is mainly infrastructure. You're quite right. That is lagging. And that is that actually has to grow at double our targets of GDP. So if we're targeting a GDP growth of 2%, you need that fixed capital expenditure to be running at 4-5% now. And it's slow. And one of the interesting things that's happened, which we're looking at now, is, you know, I'm not sure if you've seen the statistic, but foreign investors in listed SA equity have dropped over the last few years from 40% down to 28%. Now, that's got to do with mandates, global mandates funds, you know, not being allowed to invest in sort of a sub-investment grade, et cetera, et cetera. But believe me, on the street, you know, we're rubbing shoulders with industry. The amount of money that's committed and ready to go is mammoth. It's better than ever because people understand the potential of South Africa, but they're wanting to see more tangible results before they pile in. So it's ours to lose. I agree with you. I mean, I spoke earlier about the average forward multiple PE of, you know, the S&P. SA sits at between 11 and 12, half. But the worry is that if SA equity and SA company don't deliver the earnings growth that the market expects, you ain't going to get the returns. Yeah. Whereas, that's where we have chosen these sectors where, and you talk about, you know, if you read about something, it's too late. I agree. You know, we genuinely are invested in sectors of the market, property, agriculture, renewables, where, you know, we take a very tech engineering approach to our investment philosophy. You know, we have technology that's been deployed into our assets where we can very, very accurately predict what potentially is going to happen. So, you know, we've got the finger on the pulse. I always talk about, you know, if you could, we've got the equivalent of having a camera and a mic on a boardroom of a listed SA or global boardroom of a company. You know, we just know the inside, you know, whether it's measuring a agricultural sort of farm or measuring a property, and, you know, we've got that. And of course, yes, there's external influences that come in there, but we've got that deep integration around managing these assets now. So we just realized that allows us to give a bit more of a stable component to someone's portfolio because of all these other risks now. But I always say, you know, as a financial advisory guy, you got to have everything. You got to have a bit of everything. And, you know, it's an important one as well. I wanted to raise the point for all the listeners as well. You know, this diversification concept, there's actually something that comes even before it that takes this emotion out of it now, because you spoke about biases. I mean, these cognitive biases are just such a fascinating world. But there's this concept of asset liability matching. And that is such an important component that actually precedes diversification as well. And actually sitting down with clients and people and saying, right, okay, when do you need certain bits of money, and putting these things in boxes and then aligning unemotionally the assets and where they should be invested to actually when these liquidity events are happening in life now. That actually trumps everything. Only then can you even start conceptualizing. So that's the sort of guidance that SA investors need. And we really believe that's where we are a critical part of someone's portfolio is around those planned events in life where you know you need money's X and 5 years from now, you know that, you know, you don't want capital risk. That's really where we sort of, that's the component where we play, because I mean, we have that level of, you know, stability is our game. We are stable.
Yeah. And I really appreciate that about Fed Group's business, sincerely, is that there's some stuff in there that is quite unique and different and unusual. And, you know, to your point, it's almost straddling capital allocation, but also the operational side. You know, you're not just sitting there doing the desktop research. And, you know, with the greatest of respect to long-only fund managers, I understand the constraints under which they need to operate, but there's a lot of benchmark hugging. There's a lot of looking at the top 40 and making slight changes to what the weightings are sitting on. It's not actually different. It's not really diversification. If you go and buy five funds like that, you are really still just, in fact, you should probably just be buying a top 40 ETF, let's be honest. So that's not diversification. But I think part of what you guys do is genuine diversification, and some of which, you know, we've talked about on podcasts before with other members of the Fed Group team. You know, I'm thinking specifically around some of the agricultural assets, etc. So I think just to bring the show to a close, I'd love to just open the floor to you to just give an overview of just high level some of the elements of the product suite effectively at Fed Group, and, you know, how you guys use it to achieve diversification.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah, that's a great opportunity sort of to map it out, and it's you know, the tangibility is such an important aspect of what we offer. A bit of a silly story. When I joined the group, I was asked by our head of our impact team and to come and join me on one of the farms, and I rocked up there in my fancy brogue shoes and my suit, and I was very quickly reprimanded for that. But now I'm very happy in my fellies and realizing it's the on the ground stuff. And it's actually understanding what's going on, which is absolutely fantastic. With regard to what we offer, we're a specialized financial services company. We're highly diversified. We have a nice diverse set of licenses, and that allows us to bring to the market our alternative assets in a stable way through a range of products, ranging from tax-free savings accounts, endowments on a fixed and asset-linked basis now. Obviously, our secured investment, which we've been running for over 3 decades, etc. So, we really offer a huge amount of tax-efficient options as well, which has been a huge evolution in our world over the last few years around adding the stable asset component and the stable returns, but in tax-efficient ways. It's been a wonderful journey over the last 5 years where we've really wanted to become more relevant to the market now. And also, the important thing is just scale up the business. There's so much wonderful opportunity in the market to leverage these assets now. So we've been able to bring far more availability into the market, which has been wonderful. And there's been so much positive reception from the advisors and clients. So, our aim, we live and breathe here to make sure that we continue to give those stable returns, year on year and continue into the future.
So Paul, thanks very much. I think that's a really great overview. I must say the culture at Fed Group is also quite fun. I did see someone in the background there dressed up in a sheet waving at me. So that was great. I'm just disappointed it wasn't a purple sheet. I mean, you've got to really get them on brand here. You know, that white sheet is just far too cliche. And Fed Group is not about cliche. It's about doing unusual stuff, which I think is great. And I would encourage anyone listening to this, go check out the Fed Group website because it really does range from your more traditional sort of investment products through to, as I say, some of what you guys have done in your impact farming ventures, for example, from pistachios through to nursery saplings, through to beehives, macadamias. I mean, these are really just interesting assets. And I think the way you've done some of that stuff is particularly cool in that it actually makes investing feel more real to people. You know, for a lot of people, for the majority of people, let's face it, we live in this financial world. Most people absolutely don't. You know, they do not get a kick out of going and picking their investment products or whatever. They pretty much outsource this to their financial advisor. And half the time, my goal is to just get them to a point where at least they can ask better questions to their financial advisors and get better outcomes. But I think with stuff like the impact farming assets, it's a lot easier to say to someone, especially younger investors or people who haven't really dabbled in the markets, hey, did you know that you can invest in growing nursery saplings or blueberries or whatever and actually earn a decent return and most likely beat inflation from this thing. So that kind of stuff is really great. I really enjoy the work you guys do in that regard. And, thank you for coming back onto the podcast. Well, Paul, it's your first time, hopefully not your last time, because I think it was a great discussion. And for those who want to, reach out to you, learn more about Fed Group, or perhaps engage with you directly, what is the best way?
Yeah, so as I say, best way is get in touch with us on our website. All the contact details are there. And we're a high touch environment now, traditional value, old school values. A computer will not call you. A person with blood running through their body will call you, and we love those conversations. And importantly, I mean, a unique culture fit around us is, often we get the senior execs, in front of clients on a regular basis. Now we like to keep our finger on the pulse, and that is the tangibility element of what we do. But you summed it up beautifully. That really is it. Tangible assets that give a nice hedge against inflation and currency risk, but that you can feel, touch, and experience for yourself. And we love giving those experiences, by the way, to our clients, visiting our various investments. It's the way to go. It's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. And thank you for your time, Paul. And I look forward to doing another one of these with you.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for the time today.